The AFL is investigating a video appearing to show Richmond star Dustin Martin groping a woman.
Taylor May. So he's received 2 weeks, but he can be free to play the finals and serve his 2 weeks, can't he?
Absolutely.
Next year.
Disgraceful.
One spectator climbed onto the roof of a grandstand and appeared to urinate on fans below.
He's got a black belt under the Nogueira brothers. I think a black belt under the Nogueira brothers is saying I got a free toy in my Happy Meal. I don't really...
Thank you so much for joining us here on episode 74 of the Dummy M podcast. Something slightly different this week. I think this is our first international call, mate, because I'm in New Zealand and you're there in Australia.
Yeah, exactly right. I have been following your travels. Obviously, lots of beer drinking taking place, which I'm sure you may fill us in with. But yeah, we're trying something different. You're gallivanting across the globe. Well, it's actually closer to get to New Zealand, the other side of our country. But yeah, it's all going well. And a hotel room looks fine for the moment.
Yes. So we've just come into Queenstown. We spent 2 days, my brother-in-law and I, at Lake Wanaka, which was just beautiful. It was excellent. And we're here on a brewery tour, so we've come into Queenstown. Tomorrow we're on an actual shuttle bus that's going to take us around all the breweries. So massive day of drinking ahead of us tomorrow. And no one can see this other than you, but I do have a beer in my hand right now because it's 6:46 at night here, mate. I know it's 3:46 in the afternoon there. I don't you think I'm doing a Ron and I'm drinking during the day.
No.
Although I am drinking during the day. But yeah, having a great time.
What gets me, mate, is you're going on this amazing brewery tour, you know, probably trying these amazing beers in New Zealand because their water over there is just a different level, and you're drinking a bloody Corona.
Now, you know me, mate, I have been going to all these breweries. I've tried all the different beers. I've hated every single one of them. I love my Corona. And so I'm spending 11 New Zealand dollars a pint on drinks I don't like. And so at the end of the day, I get back like 20 bucks. I've got a 6-pack, so... Yeah, I'm playing the game, but I just don't like it. So I'm onto the ciders and the ginger beers now. That's the smart way to do it because I like those. Yeah,
mate, I'm telling you, that's where it's at. On a nice hot day now, alcoholic ginger beer cider, it's a winner.
Excellent. Well, mate, I suppose we should talk about this week's sponsor. Who is it?
This week's sponsor is Gladstone's very own community radio station, GCR, who are proud to announce their latest breakfast show, Ass Crack and the Finger. After Fuckknuckle and the Dick Punch recently signed a six-figure Spotify deal, Ass Crack and the Finger are the new kids on the block and touted as the hottest breakfast duo to hit the airwaves since Rug Muncher and the Beaver. So be sure to tune into GCR on the way to work this week to hear a whole new set of competitions that sound suspiciously like the old ones that give away a bunch of shit you don't need. That's Ass Crack and the Finger from 5 o'clock weekdays.
And thank you for joining us here, and a huge shout out to GCR for sponsoring the show this week. Now, we are the Dummy M. We look at all the dumb things that happen in sport. And straight up today, T-Dog, there has been a story that has rocked the cornhole throwing world to its core. The current world champion, Billy Joe Jim Bob, has been caught weighting his cornhole bags. Very much like Cool Runnings, adding some weights so that things would go faster, fly further. And terrible, terrible. And T-Dog, I've got a hat tip to you, mate, because once again, your contacts have got us in on this press conference, and we're about to jump to it in real time to hear what Billy Joe Jim Bob has to say.
Howdy, and thank you for letting me speak into your microphone box today. As you know, I've been caught cheating with weighted cornhole bags, and for that, I'm sorry. I have no excuse. After I won the world title 2 years ago in front of a packed house of over 20 people, I felt a rush like nothing before, except the time I met my future wife at that family barbecue. And I've been chasing that high ever since, and I didn't want to let her go, which is why I weighted my cornhole bags. Cornhole throwing is the most pure of all sports, and I have tainted it with my actions. And for that, I am sorry. To the World Cornhole Association of Professional Cornhole Throwers Associated Collective of Associates, better known as the WCAPCTACA, I apologize. To my cousin who stood by me through this ordeal, I couldn't ask for a better wife. To my family back home in Alabama, Ma, Pa, Grandpappy, and Meemaw, and my 27 brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. And lastly, to my former sponsors, Coors and Marlboro Lights, I will miss being your high school ambassador and promoting your products to teens. I have some healing to do and will now step away from competitive cornhole throwing and wish the new world champ, Bob Joe, Billy Jim Bob, all the best. Thank you.
Shocking. Shocking story, and hopefully that's the last we'll see of that sort of cheating, mate. But of course, as the Dummy M, we have three dumb sports stories every week. Mate, who is our first nominee for our dumb story in episode 74?
Before we get there, B-Row, I actually want to share with you, I'm in a group chat with some workmates, and cornhole throwing actually came up as, they must have been having a competition for like the dumbest sports across the world or something like that, and someone suggested cornhole throwing. So I shared them the cheating one, and they were just gobsmacked.
I can't believe they actually heard of cornhole throwing.
The first nomination this week is actually from the horse racing world. It was a bunch of women punching on during the Melbourne Cup.
Now, we've got to be a bit more specific here because it happened in Brisbane, it happened in Sydney, it happened in Melbourne. It seemed like it was a whole East Coast affair. But I think you're referring to the one with the video at Brisbane.
Yeah, true, true. It happened during Melbourne Cup Day. But yes, you're right. The actual event took place in Brisbane. And have you seen the video?
Yeah. I mean, the technique of the fighting is terrible. But you certainly, with those low dresses that ride quite high, you see a lot of their hoo-hahs in it.
They're giving it a fair old crack. I think some of the men's rugby league players could learn a thing or two.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They punched on, and I love that. That's fantastic. But I don't know what happened. Was it the textbook, someone called someone a slut, and that was all on? Is that what happened?
Undoubtedly. Let's face it. They've all had too much to drink.
Yep.
And someone probably mentioned about someone's boyfriend being really attractive, and then it was just on.
Do you think next year, like, there's going to be less folks on the horse racing and sports betting going to offer, like, odds on drunken women punching on?
Do you remember that story from a couple years ago where that lady was so drunk she pushed the police officer into the garden? Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
And she became quite fat. Like, she was shocked and appalled because she apparently couldn't remember doing it. And we're all probably like, get in there. But you can see straight away, she regretted it instantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And definitely far more entertaining than the horse racing.
Oh, 100%. And none of the women were put down, which is always a good thing. If you like your sports news sprinkled with sarcasm and drenched in swearing, then you're in luck because J-Dub is here to do just that.
Sports, 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 sports.
G'day, fellas. Welcome back to another news headlines roundup with J-Dub. There's been some rumbles around the track this week that West Tigers will take Aaron Woods back into the fold next year. Now, Aaron Wood had two good seasons about a decade ago and has done fuck all ever since, but sure, let's take him back. Sure, I'm passionate about this because Tigers are my team, but while we're taking him back to do absolutely nothing but, I don't know, warm the bench, why don't we also get back Benji Marshall? He only retired last year. Let's bring back Benny Elias. We don't have enough court cases. Damn it, let's bring back Blocker Roach. I mean, why not? Why not indeed? You idiots! Look, we all know that Americans act a little bit differently to us, and we know that people with money act a little bit differently to us. But you get Americans with money, oh, it's a whole other ballgame, my friends. Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay has decided that he would appoint a new coach. So you know what he did? He just rang a mate. He just put a mate into the position. Sure, why not? I mean, the guy was a really good player. He was the offensive centre to Peyton Manning for quite a few seasons. Doesn't mean he's a good coach. He has, in fact, only coached for 3 years, and that was at a Christian college. But sure, when you've got that much money, you can do whatever the hell you want. So, B-Row, T-Dog, I don't know, can I own the entire station that we record at, please? One of the 8 million Burgess brothers, George Burgess, has recently revealed that he's going to leave rugby league because he doesn't get along with his coach. It has nothing to do with the alleged charges. Well, the charges aren't alleged, but what he did was alleged. Sexually touching women. So he has left rugby league and was wondering what he was going to do with his life when Russell Crowe has popped up and offered him a role in the latest Hemsworth brother film. Now, I think we all saw the naked photos of George Burgess, but perhaps just me, perhaps it was my screensaver for a long time. I'm not sure that he's not moving straight into porn. Is that what's happening? Is George Burgess moving into porn and saying that he's doing a Russell Crowe movie? There you go, B-Row, T-Dog, maybe you can investigate that for me. And that's it for me this week, fellas. Have a great week!
Just think, out of all the things that you could be doing right now, you're listening to this. Nice one. the Dummy M podcast with B-Row and T-Dog.
Well, T-Dog, very excited about today's guest. I met this young lady back in Townsville in 2008 when Bernie and I were on Hot FM for the Barry and Bernie Breakfast Show. And her name was Short, and she was an up-and-comer in radio. We used to have her on our show. And then when Bernie and I left, she took our slot and she started making her way up the ranks. So it's really, I'm really excited to hear what happened after we left. That's really where I want to sort of pick up from. So it's a huge welcome to Courtney Dibben, known as Short. Thank you for joining us here on the Dummy M.
Thank you so much for having me, B-Row and T-Dog.
Now, Short, tell us what happened. Once we left and you took over our spot, tell us about the meteoric rise of you in radio.
So the station burnt down. No, I'm kidding. It was a very progressive rise. I don't know that it was meteoric, but basically I filled in the breakfast slot that you guys had been doing so beautifully. I received immense backlash, actually. I had a couple of hate pages created in my honour, which was delightful.
Oh, no.
I think that's when you know you've made. But they were great. They were really spicy and kept things interesting. Fortunately, the remaining people listening seemed to be enjoying it. And then from there, I actually went away from radio. I went and moved to Canada after 12 months to do voice acting.
Wow.
So, yeah, lived over there in Toronto for 8 months, tried my hand at a few different auditions. I auditioned for the new Furby. So they did a second line of Furbies,
wow.
Auditioned for that. Yeah. And then I came back to Australia and actually started working for the competition. So who we previously were up against in our Townsville demographic, I started working with them. And I think I spent another 6 years working with them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Short, I've got a question. Well, actually, I don't know if I really want to head down this because with the name of Short, I just think it's a bit lame that I'm going to ask you where that nickname comes from. So I think we just know that you were $3 short in a shout one night, and that's how you caught the nickname, and we'll just move on.
I told you that story in confidence, B-Row. I can't believe you shared it with T-Dog. We share everything.
So now you went over to the competition. How did that go down in the building? Because, you know, Short will testify to this, that often radio stations, this is one building in the town, they end up sort of like renting out half the building to the opposition. And they're really weird about it. Your managers will be like, don't talk to them. Don't socialize with them. Don't say anything nice to them. And so you actually went from Hot FM and you jumped over to, I think it was 106.3. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Like, were you just a dead to them? Is that how it went? Or
it depended on the person. Certainly some of them were less interactive, let's say that, yep, than others. But for the most part, I think we're all in the trenches together. You know, we're all up at early hours, or we're working long hours, or we're suddenly, you know, out on weekends doing the promotions, handing out balloons and things like that. So I think for the most part, everyone was pretty accommodating. We kind of got the raw end of the deal in that building because we lived in what was known as the cupboard. So it was like a 3x3 meter studio, I think, amongst this giant building. It's since changed, or I think it's now storage since they've split and the companies have moved to separate buildings. So they'd always sort of check on the Harry Potters working out of the cupboard.
So, Short, can you actually confirm to our listeners, when you're doing breakfast radio, what time of the morning are you actually waking up?
So I used to get up at 3:30 if I was feeling particularly sleepy. And then you were into the studio by 4, prepping for the day with the current news that might have popped up. I know that B-Row will testify for the fact that we were doing a market that spread from Mareeba in North Queensland down to Roma and out to Mount Isa. So our show had to cover such a broad spectrum of listeners. So you had heaps of prep work for that you couldn't cover the day before, obviously, because you wanted to stay current. So it was a very interesting time. I remember waking up from a nap one afternoon and I saw that the clock said 4:30. And my husband had walked in. He was my then boyfriend at the time, walked into the bedroom, and I'm having a massive panic attack and losing my mind. I'm like, why didn't you wake me? It's 4:30. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm just freaking out on him. And he's like, it's 4:30 p.m.
Yeah.
So, calmed down and realized I hadn't missed my shift.
So you mentioned your now husband was with you when you were doing breakfast radio. How did he handle, obviously, you getting up that early? Was he supportive, or were you guys at the stage where you were sleeping in a different bed because he didn't want you waking him up?
He sleeps like the dead, so he wasn't waking up to me. It was more the bitter resentment I had looking back at the bed and seeing him nestled quite comfortably amongst the doonas. So We made it through.
Now, you've got kids, right? So
yes.
I'm assuming that you no longer do breakfast radio now that you have children?
No, I'm now working as a teacher, but I still do breakfast radio hours because the children are alarm clocks.
Yeah, exactly right. So when did your radio career finish? Did it finish when you were due to have children, or did you make that jump before?
No, it actually finished. So I got pregnant with my first daughter, Amelia, in 2014, and then she was born in 2015. And I went on maternity leave and then went to go back after 6 months, as was always the plan, and then realized that the lifestyle was no longer conducive. I wasn't doing breakfast. I was doing the drive shift, but just the trying to rejig my life and now accommodate this little human at the same time, I just found that radio was no longer able to do that. So I started a degree when she was 4 months old.
Wow.
I do not recommend.
Jeez, good on
and,
you.
Yeah. So, and then I had my second daughter halfway through the degree, never handed in an assessment late and had her mid-semester.
Wow.
And then, now I'm a high school teacher.
You had an excuse.
I know.
Actually, can I ask, now that you're a school teacher, I don't know whether – are you high school or primary?
High school.
You haven't actually had a student come to you and say, my assignment's late because I've just given birth to a child?
Thankfully, no. But okay. I do use that when they try to come at me with their excuses. Yeah. I'm like, excuse me, I birthed a child mid-semester.
Now, one of the many amazing things that Short contributed to the Barry and Bernie Breakfast Show was we'd often go to her pestering her to do voices for our skits. And I'd like to play a little snippet of one of the skits right here and now, so I'll just let this roll.
Well, we're almost ready to reveal tonight's Dummy M winner, but before we do, there's one more category to announce.
And the nominees for the stupidest nightclub toilet incident for 2008 are... for urinating on a patron's head, Todd Carney, the Canberra Raiders.
What the f-
And for group sex in a toilet, Darius Boyd, Carmichael Hunt, and Sam Fide, the Brisbane Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, quick, put your pants back on. Girls come in.
And the winner is...
the Brisbane Broncos.
And on top of her amazing voiceover work, T-Dog, I want her to dazzle you here and now because she does fantastic impersonations. Now, to all our listeners, all right, Short, you used to do this for me and it blew me away every time. Do your impersonation of your sausage dog sizzles.
I've got to see if I remember it. Is that the...
Uncanny, dude. Uncanny. What an amazing impersonation that was.
Oh, Sizzles, may she rest in peace. We only just recently lost her. She was 14 years old, lived a fantastic life. She was the best, worst dog you could ever own.
Now, Sean, I know that you've now transitioned to teacher life, and teacher life is very different to, obviously, radio life. Biro and I can attest to that. But I want you to think back to your radio days. I do like to ask this of people who've worked in that world. I'm going to ask you two parts. Who was the coolest person you interviewed or met while on radio? And who was like the uncoolest, hardest, just absolute asshole?
Okay. Well, the coolest one was Guy Sebastian. Yep. Not necessarily because of his global fame, but just he was a really nice dude. The problem was in year eight, when he was on Australian Idol, I also had what I called the Guy Sebastian box, which was a collection of memorabilia and like hand taped footage of him performing on Australian Idol because I was obsessed with him. And I'd mentioned this to colleagues and then they somehow managed to line up this interview with Guy Sebastian. I played it cool. I was like, yep, done my research. This is all normal. Then that colleague revealed said Guy Sebastian Mox to this poor man. And he was so lovely about it and did not call the police, which was wonderful. So he's up there as my top interview. My worst interview, I don't know, am I allowed to name?
Yeah, why not?
We're worldwide, so it's fine.
You have such a large audience. I feel like I'm going to get myself in trouble here. So his name is Doc Gleason.
Oh, yeah, from the Angels.
From the Angels.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I had this interview scheduled with him. And I'd done all of this extensive research. My dad was a massive Angels fan. So I had gone to the next level. I'm like, what would you ask him, Dad? Like, done all of this incredible background research. And I got on the phone to him and I sounded like an upbeat, blonde, bibbidi-bobbidi girl, I think. And he just did not, I don't know if he was having a bad day. He was not responsive. He basically shut down all of the questions that I had. He just had zero interest in talking to me that day. And I tried to, you know, different angles to try and pull something from the interview. Yeah. And he was not a happy man. Not a happy man.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. Disappointing.
I'd go as far as to say Arj Barker was mine. He was like, he was just such an arsehole when we spoke to Arj.
Really?
Yeah, he wasn't. Again, maybe he'd done his 10th interview for the day and he was just over it. I don't know, but he was a bit of an arsehole. However, you've gone on from radio, you're in teaching, but obviously your creative juices don't stop there, because I know you've written a children's book, but also you're now into musicals. So tell us all about that and where can people see you performing next?
Yes, I just want to clarify that children's book is still very much like amongst my family.
Okay.
It's not really made the realms of the literary world. I'm not winning the Pulitzer or anything. But musicals, I've always had this massive passion for musicals, even though the idea of singing in front of people absolutely terrifies me, freaks me out. So I used to do them in high school and I never got the like lead because I was far too terrified for that. And then I started auditioning for them again after high school. And I think the first one I did was Sound of Music, fresh, like after I hadn't done them for so many years. And I played a nun and I was in the chorus and it was the most delightful, wonderful thing. And then I did a few other shows, including Legally Blonde. I sort of helped a little bit behind the scenes of Spring Awakening. And they're all done with the Townsville Choral Society here in Townsville, who do incredible amateur theatre. I don't think you can even call it amateur, given the level that they reach. So, yeah, and then I actually auditioned for Wicked when it became an amateur musical or up for amateur rights. And I did 6 months prep and I did what I like to call the Beyoncé, because I found out that Beyoncé actually runs on the treadmill and sings her song.
Wow.
So that she can be like show fit. So I used to hurl my little legs up the Townsville Dam because it was close to my house and I had like a set of 100 stairs and I would sing these musical songs while running the stairs. I must have looked insane, but it worked. I scored the lead role of Galinda the Good Witch in Wicked, and then a couple of years later followed that with Sophie in Mamma Mia. So it's just a huge passion of mine and something I'm very fond of doing in my spare time whenever there is some.
And do you have any shows that people can catch coming up?
Well, I've just finished the run of The Little Mermaid, so not currently. There's a couple that I'd like to audition for next year, so I'll certainly be hanging out for those. But I've just finished playing a slimy eel in The Little Mermaid, which was excellent fun.
Okay, fantastic. Well, make sure if you're into your musicals, you keep an eye out for Courtney Dibben. She won't be advertised as short because I know her as short, and it's been great to catch up with you. And all the best with your teaching career and your kids and, of course, your musicals.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. What a reunion. Thank you.
Make sure when you're on your favourite podcasting platform that you give us a 5-star rating and leave a comment. We would very much thank you for that. Now, who is the second nominee in the Dummy of the Week this week, mate?
From the world of cricket, it's actually a Bangladesh umpire review.
Okay, a Bangladesh umpire review. All right, explain.
Yes. So the umpire's not from Bangladesh. Bangladesh were a cricket team that were playing. So there's a T20 World Cup going on at the moment in the world of cricket. Okay. We've discussed it on our show. Mm-hmm. I have been watching a fair bit of it, actually. And so has my wife. She's been getting into it a bit. There's a pretty big game played between Bangladesh and Pakistan to go into the semi-final. And so Bangladesh were playing Pakistan. Pakistan were bowling. And what seemed to batsmen was given out LBW. So he challenged it, which he's allowed to do. It's claiming that he hit it. And once you hit the ball, you can't be given out LBW because it's hit the bat, right? So with all the technology and all the angles and all the snickos and the hot spots and the Hawkeyes and all that kind of stuff, I could clearly see, and everyone could clearly see, he hit the ball. And the umpire still gave it out.
Why? Like, if everybody could see it, why would they go with that? Do you think there was a bit of match fixing going on?
Well, hey, just jump it. Hey, the bat does come in contact with the ground very close to the nick.
Yep.
So I could kind of see that maybe the umpire thought that it was the ground making the noise, not the ball hitting the bat. But if you've watched cricket for as long as I have and seen 1,000 reviews, they make different, I suppose, sounds, or it's like a lie detector, the snicko. Like, it's got a line, and once it picks up a noise, it resonates, of course. Mm-hmm. So a bat has a very different, I suppose, resonating line to what hitting the ground is. So a bat is like a sharp up and down, whereas hitting the ground is a shallow sort of thud noise. Mm-hmm. So when you're watching this, it was clearly like a really sharp up and down spike. So it could have only have been the bat.
Yeah.
And the umpire still gave it out. So my bet is that he had money on Pakistan.
Now, mate, speaking of cricket, you did say you've been watching a lot of the T20 World Cup. What's going on with South Africa?
Mate, I was actually watching this game, the tail end of it anyway, because I just thought, much like the rest of the world, that it was a lay-down misere for them. They were just going to turn up. They only had to beat Netherlands. Now, Netherlands are not a cricket powerhouse by any means. And South Africa actually have a history of choking in really big games. They're well known for it. The 99 Cricket World Cup, the 2003 Cricket World Cup. You know, that they are well known for choking big games. So they literally just had to turn up on Sunday and beat Netherlands. Mm. And everyone thought it, because the game we just mentioned, Pakistan and Bangladesh, was the game after these guys. And they actually had a friendly agreement where they were just going to have a hit and giggle because it didn't count for anything.
Yeah, right.
And then South Africa turned up and lost.
Wow.
And it shocked everyone. So it knocked them out.
Not many people know this, but you're the guy who handles the correspondence for the Dummy M. You read all the emails, you get all the sponsors who come in, and your phone rings off the hook. And I just thought, it's just too much to ask of you, mate. So I did you a favor this week, and I've set up an answering machine, right? So we got a voicemail, and already we've got a message, and you wouldn't believe it, but South Africa's cricket captain actually left us a message this week after that terrible performance, and he wants to apologize.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Good morning. As captain of South Africa's cricket team, I'd like to apologize to all our fans for our recent collapse. Jesus, we capitulated faster than the Rand. You know, we disappeared faster than the ANC's integrity after the death of Nelson Mandela. It was fucking horrific. But we are a proud country and have the number one rugby team in the world right now. So, you know, there is that. Today was not our day. And in fact, it's never been our day. But again, we are the best at rugby. We will no doubt try harder next time, but I'd like to remind everyone that we are the best at rugby, which is the most important thing that everyone should focus on right now. Lastly, we stand with Ukraine in their fight against Russia. Unfortunately, that fight is not on a rugby field, otherwise then we could make a real meaningful contribution. But for now, we'll just have to send our best, and also if you're feeling down, check out some rugby, because we're the best. Fucking go Springboks.
With GCR's number one breakfast show in a market of one now leaving for Spotify, GCR is launching a whole new breakfast show that will blow your mind. GCR proudly presents Ass Crack and the Finger. Unlike Fuck Knuckle and the Dick Punch with their secret sound every day at 8 o'clock,
oh, what's that secret sound?
Ass Crack and the Finger will start your day with a whole new direction with their mystery noise.
Hey, what's that? What's that mystery noise?
That's Ass Crack and the Finger on Gladstone's home of the 3-minute non-stop block of rock every hour.
Well, hit us with the third nominee, mate.
Yeah, from the world of NBA. Again, last week it was NBA. This week it's NBA. It's Kyrie Irving.
Now, he is a player for the Brooklyn Nets, and I do believe he's done a bit of a Kanye this week, because Kanye's obviously in trouble for being anti-Semitic, And now this guy's just decided to jump on the Kanye bandwagon. So what's it all about?
Well, I've got to be honest, I did initially miss this, but it's been carrying on and there's been a lot of fallout. So essentially, like every person, they're on Twitter and Kyrie has decided to tweet a link to a movie. Now, fair enough, that doesn't seem harmful, you know, until you realise the movie is titled Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America.
Why? What's going through your head that this is a good idea as a professional athlete with a social media account that I'm going to share this with everybody?
Oh, mate, I tell you, and I tell you what, there has been really big fallout, really big fallout. So Nike, he was sponsored by Nike. They have suspended their relationship with him worth about $17 million Australian dollars a year.
Wow.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets have asked him to complete a series of things before he can come back. So he's got to apologise and condemn the movie. He's got to give a $500,000 donation to an anti-hate cause. He's got to do sensitivity training, anti-Semitic training. Is that a thing? meet with ADL Jewish leaders.
Yep, yep.
And meet with Joe Tsai to demonstrate understanding. Now, Joe Tsai, I believe, is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets.
You know, somebody did point out, though, that Kanye West came out and he said, the Jews run the corporations and social media. And then suddenly all these corporations dropped him and social media dropped him. And it was like, way to prove his point.
You look exhausted, Randy. Normally, you're such a great-looking guy.
Why, thank you, Susie. I am exhausted. I'm having huge problems sleeping. I've tried everything. Relaxation techniques, warm milk, masturbation. Still can't sleep.
I have the perfect solution. Have you heard of the podcast, Dummy M?
No, I have not.
That's okay. Nobody has. Just be careful you don't take an overdose. 2 days later. Randy, you look so much better.
Thanks to you, Susie. I started listening to Dummy M, and within just a few minutes, I was fast asleep, possibly comatose. And after an 18-hour nap, I feel totally refreshed. Dummy M, an insomniac's dream.
Not to be listened to in conjunction with episodes of The Brady Bunch or of old people telling stories about their grandchildren.
All right, mate. Well, I don't envy you this week. You've got three hard dummies out there. Okay, so well, we started the show, of course, with the chicks punching on at the Melbourne Cup in Brisbane, which was just stupid. Then, of course, we went to your bread and butter, mate. Like, it's pretty much every second episode that goes, you're always on about a video ref. You love your video refs. So I know you're going to favour that one. Then, of course, we've got some anti-Semitism from the Brooklyn Nets. So on Facebook, at the Dummy M, we always throw it out, our three nominees. And this week, Ricky said, they're all so dumb, but there is no room for hate speech from Kyrie. Fair enough. But Brian has said, got to be the Cup Girls. So the audience is divided here, T-Dog. You are the one who makes this decision. So what are you thinking this week, mate?
Well, the hard part is, B-Ro, I do love a good video ref criticism. Like, seriously, you get 4,000 angles. How can you still get it wrong?
Yeah.
I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon this week. I think, based on the fallout and the potential cost to said person, I'm going to go with Kyrie Irving from the Brooklyn Nets as this week's Dummy of the Week.
Okie dokie, mate, we've bagged out people. Now let's praise them. So who is the champion of the week, the cow, in your mind this week? I think, in fact, we had three running. We sort of went through one, went through another, and now you've come up with this one. So let's hear it.
Mate, it was a good week. There were plenty of good news stories, but most obviously, it's no competition. This week's cow is Manly for hiring Anthony Seibold. Well done, Manly. Yay! Oh, sorry, that's a different story.
So they actually went with Seibold, did they?
Yeah, it's confirmed. Wow. It is confirmed. But on a serious note, our actual cow this week, what a great news story this is. Jeff Fenwick.
Now, they have awarded him essentially a reversal of a decision in his first fight with Azuma Nelson, which I watched at the time. I was watching it live, and he clearly won that fight. There's no doubt about it. And strangely enough, he was never the same afterwards. So,
yeah.
But he was the same fighter. He was dominant. and you would just think he would come back in the next fight more fired up. But it all went downhill after he got robbed that time. And so for some reason, the WBC this week went, you know what? It's 20 odd years ago, but we've looked at it and just gone, yeah, this was a massive robbery. So here you go.
Well, yeah, and I wonder if he just carried that with him, because I believe they fought in a rematch about 7 months later and Nelson won.
Knocked him out, just smashed him. The sad thing is,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the sad part is it's hard because it's now 30-odd years later. Mm. Like, he doesn't get recognised. He would have been the youngest ever, I think, four divisional weight class champion. Yep. So he misses that record, and that's a little bit... I don't know, shitty, I suppose. But the thing that I started to question is, where do we stop now? Do we go back and look at all split decisions through history and go, oh, this person should have won that one and this person should have won that one? Because let's face it, in the UFC, that's every second fight.
Well, I mean, let's go back to, obviously, the Storm cheating with the salary cap. The Eels should have been awarded that premiership. That's one we've got to go back and revisit. But if it's going to take 30 years, then who knows? We might be that might be our next premiership in 2040. Who knows?
Well, you might be better off looking forward to that than them actually making a grand final again and winning one.
Yes, maybe so. However, let's focus on Jeff Fenwick and congratulate him. Well done to Jeff Fenwick. You are this week's cow. A huge shout out to this week's sponsor, Gladstone Community Radio. And be sure to tune in Saturday night from 7 p.m. for a 4-hour deep dive into the life and times of UK Labour leader Neil Kinnock. GCR promises you a 4-hour rollercoaster ride covering his childhood in South Wales, his rise through Labour politics, and a closer examination of the 1987 and 1992 elections, asking the questions, why did he lose and how would a Kinnock government have dealt with the miners' strike? We know you'll be as excited as us. That's The Life and Times of Neil Kinnock, exclusively on GCR, 7 to 11pm, with the one and only Arsecrack and the Finger. Mate, I'm over here in NZ, and I think for an international call, I don't think the time lag sort of hurt the show too much this week.
Right, we're going to have to get used to it, because now that we've done this, you know, people are going to be start calling us to start doing shows from their country. so we're going to have to start getting used to this travel thing. So
I guess so. But obviously it's very hot in Queensland, and we went to Lake Wanaka and all the mountains just covered in snow. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not seen that much white powder since John Jones' last arrest. So hey,
that's an easy setup.
So no, it's been good, mate. You know, hanging out with the brother-in-law, catching up with him. I haven't seen him in a bit. So I genuinely don't like all these beers that I've tried. I've been very underwhelmed by all of them. And the ginger beers, to be honest, a bit run-of-the-mill too. So, but anyway, I've got my Corona in my hand right now, so I'm happy.
Oh, and I found that beer, and I don't know whether it's an age thing, but there's been a real big craft beer boom, I'd say, in the last decade. Like, they've been around for a while, but I'd say it's really boomed in the last 10 years. And, you know, we've got the local beer and cider festival. You've been to a few of these.
Yep.
It's on this weekend.
Yep.
And so I'm going. And I just find all these fruity, over-the-top, just, I just want a beer that tastes like beer.
Well, my brother-in-law made that point, that there seems to be a trend now amongst the beers that they've sort of got that fruity, passion fruity type tang to them. That sort of seems to be the current trend. Mm. I don't mind the passion fruit, to be honest, but I don't know. I like a Mexican lager. I like Sol. I like Corona. There's something about the way that they do it south of the border that, yeah, really works for me. But nonetheless, now next week, mate, we've got WA comedian Tate Middleton as our guest, and he's actually in Thailand. So once again, we're kind of going to go international. He's over there training at Tiger Muay Thai. It makes him sound like he's a fighter. He's not. He did disclose to me that he's carrying a hell of a lot of weight, so he's gone over there to burn it all off. So it's going to be interesting to chat with him, because I've trained at Tiger Muay Thai, and I did warn him. I said, mate, you got to stay away from the frozen yogurt place halfway up that road, because you'll undo all your good work there because it's so tasty. And the Joke-Off's back. We got Rob and Greeny, and they're going to be tackling heavy metal versus gangster rap. So that's an interesting one.
That is interesting, because I'm honestly not into either of them. I mean, I can understand. I suppose I appreciate music. It's just not my thing. Heavy metal, too heavy for me. Gangster rap, I'm like the whitest guy alive. So it's going to be interesting.
Okay. Well, you're an impartial judge, because if it was up to me, I'd be voting for heavy metal. So it's good that you're right down the middle. But I will be in Brisbane next week. You'll be in Gladstone. And our guest will be in Thailand. So it's going to be another another video conference call, so the audio might sound slightly different this week, but that's okay. It's all come together.
That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mate, so everybody out there, you make sure you stay safe, and T-Dog, as you always say.
Have a beer with your dad for me.
Take care, everyone.
The Dummy M. Take two dummies, mix it with stupid sports stories, and you get The Dummy M. Available on all major podcasting platforms.